I started the decade on ketamine. In the early hours of 2020, I sat slumped on a couch in a friend's share house in Carlton North and groaned as the horse tranquilizer washed over my brain. The ket had enlisted the evening's cocaine, MDMA, vodka Red Bulls and amyl nitrate and formed a supergroup that was now performing live in my skull, and they were playing all the hits. Not gonna lie, I was cooked. I took a sip of my gin and tonic and tried to focus. A friend was addressing the room, recounting her story about a creepy interaction she'd once had with Harvey Weinstein. I was doing my best to concentrate, because that's the polite thing to do when someone's telling you a hashtag me too, even at 5 a.m. on New Year's Day. But I was struggling. The supergroup was loud and getting louder, and the lounge room was somehow upside down and back to front, and reality was being warped and folding in on itself. I needed a wee, and also it was becoming very clear that nobody here was going to have sex with me. I gave up and tuned out. My head lolled back, and I stared up at the ceiling, drifting in and out of the now, wondering what was going to become of us all, specifically me. I was a month and 5 days into my 30s. Meanwhile, Australia was on fire. While my friends and I had been coordinating our drug orders earlier that evening, 4,000 people had been huddling together on the Mallacoota foreshore under a blackened sky, surrounded by flames, listing as the town's gas cylinders exploded in the heat. The country had been burning for months. Our dry spring on record had turned into a black summer. December had brought tens of thousands of lightning strikes, 60-kilometre-hour winds, and the hottest day in Australian history. And now 200 bushfires were blazing across the country. Fires in the Blue Mountains and East Gippsland had become so fierce they generated pyrocumulonimbus, giant thunderstorm clouds that could cause their own lightning strikes, gusts of wind, and hail blackened with soot. These fucking fires were creating their own motherfucking weather. Weather which could, in turn, start and spread more fires. It was very bad. And another bad thing was on its way. As Australia burned, and as I crawled home from that share house to my apartment, where I would spend the next 3 days in bed, feasting on Uber Eats and Pierce Brosnan Bond movies, a seafood market in Wuhan was being closed for environmental sanitation. A string of new pneumonia-like cases had been reported around the city, but not to worry, probably nothing. Confused merchants watched as public security officers, dressed in protective gear, sanitized the market's fish tanks and collected samples. A few days later, a regular at the wet market became the first to report a death from the mystery illness. By the end of January, the Chinese government had closed off the city and there were 10,000 confirmed cases worldwide, from South Korea to the US. The World Health Organization declared a public health emergency of international concern due to severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2, purveyor of the coronavirus disease of 2019, or COVID-19. I'm guessing you're across this. As the pandemic has unfolded over these past few years, it's felt like the whole world has joined me in that New Year's Eve K-hole, and we've all been trapped in there ever since. Right off the bat, things just kept getting scarier and more surreal with every update. Now we can't touch our faces. Now we're all wearing masks. Now people are punching each other in supermarkets. Now my brother's wedding is being called off. Now I'm alone in a hotel room in Brisbane, my first week of stand-up shows cancelled, going a bit crazy. Now the borders are closing. Now I'm definitely not moving to London. Now the lockdowns have started. Now I'm going fully crazy. Now the President of the United States is suggesting that maybe drinking bleach is a good thing to do, health-wise. Now the police are handing out $1,000 fines and using drones to patrol lockdown suburbs. Now the Melbourne Comedy Festival is cancelled. Now the Olympics are cancelled. Now news cameras are panning along endless dole queues as international celebrities sing Imagine to us from inside their mansions. Now the guy from My Kitchen Rules is trying to sell you a magical Dalek that can cure the virus for just $14,990. Now there's a second wave. Now we're in a recession for the first time since I was a toddler. Now George Floyd has been murdered and everything's getting cancelled. Now the government has managed to find hundreds of billions of dollars out of nowhere and we're suddenly lifting people out of poverty and ending homelessness. Now we've stopped doing all that and billionaires have doubled their wealth and all the talk of radically changing everything to create a new and better normal has been forgotten and it's back to business as usual. This is us now. We live in an age of fire, pestilence and chaos. As we try to survive and make some sense of it all, the powers that be promise to make things better and tell us to hang on to hope. It's all going to be okay, everyone. After all, we're all in this together. I was born in November 1989, the same month the Berlin Wall was single-handedly demolished by David Hasselhoff. The toppling of the wall heralded the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the end of the Cold War, and the fall of communism, and everyone was very excited about the possibilities of change and freedom in the future. Earlier that year, a neoconservative at the US State Department by the name of Francis Whoops Fukuyama had written a much-lauded essay entitled The End of History, in which he argued that the world was now witnessing the end point of mankind's ideological evolution and the universalization of Western liberal democracy as the final form of human government. The political economic system of capitalism was here to stay forever, and everyone could see hashtag the West is best. From now on, humanity and politics was just going to be about the endless solving of technical problems, environmental concerns, and the satisfaction of sophisticated consumer demands. Sounds sick, Frank. Great work, everyone. 3 decades later, I think we can agree that history is still very much going, and it appears to be wielding some big dick energy. In just my lifetime, history has brought us burst bubbles and recessions, globalization, genocides, oil spills, 9/11, the wars on terror, did we win? The emergence of billionaire Silicon Valley psychopaths, the Big Brother turkey slap, a global financial crisis, a failed Arab Spring, the Syrian Civil War, ISIS, superpowered creepy surveillance states, Brexit, President Donald Trump, a resurgent alt-far right, Jeffrey Epstein committing suicide, the collapse of public trust in civil institutions, a crippled labor movement, widespread alienation and loneliness, a broken democracy, a relentless assault on minority rights, a climate crisis, a global refugee crisis, a mental health crisis, an obesity crisis, a cost of living crisis, a housing crisis, a horse meat crisis, fake news, QAnon, Ebola, drones, and strawberries stuffed to the brim with fucking needles. In Australia, we've churned through 7 prime ministers in just 15 years. Somehow, we've ended up with a demented billionaire class with too much power, a ghoul-ridden political class that produces nothing but scandals and cringe, and a dumb media class that consistently says and does dumb things that make us all dumber, which is a problem because we're pretty dumb to begin with. We all gasp at the mistakes and lies and shitfuckery of the people at the top, and then they pretty much get away with it, and we all move on to the next thing, and the old outrages are sucked down our collective memory hole. As we post and meme our anger and dismay, as we lob grenades at one another from the trenches of the endless culture war, as the scope of our political imagination gets smaller and smaller, as we're told about royal commissions and inquiries and reports and reviews and proposals for reforms that never go anywhere, we feel increasingly powerless and cucked. And now, just as some piss icing on this melted turd cake, we've copped a global pandemic, featuring a highly contagious and lethal disease that came from either a bat or a lab, which has exposed and magnified all the cracks in the way we go about doing everything. I don't know, maybe this final form of human government isn't so great after all. There are shitloads of technical problems and environmental concerns that haven't been solved, shitloads of new ones are popping up every day, and billions of demands are going unsatisfied. Crucially, contra Fukuyama, the 21st century has made it clear that things don't automatically get better. The moral arc of the universe doesn't necessarily bend towards justice. Sometimes it bends the wrong way, and sometimes it bends so far that it snaps, and God or Allah or whoever just says, "Ah, fuck it, don't even worry about it, actually," and walks away to do literally anything else. Right now, a better future feels impossible. We really have no idea where we're headed as a country or as a species, but it's hard to imagine that it's going to be anywhere great. I mean, Soylent Green is set in 2022. And nobody has been feeling this more keenly than the incoming captains of this sinking ship, my generation, the millennials.